League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my...
And it is time to fire it up again. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, the Gloss. And you've been gone a while. Jose, are you glad that Carla's back?
I was getting a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. I'm so glad she's back.
Well, Jose,
I
know it is great to see you.
Hey, he put on a Hawaiian shirt.
For you, yeah.
Peacock feathers.
She's been.
I didn't get the memo about the white shirt, so I'm a little bit hurt. Both of you guys are wearing white today.
Oh, well, look at that.
And
Carla.
I'm a little hurt. I thought this was a family.
You're bringing some color to the group.
Well, the big deal is that Carla Dawson has returned from her beach soiree on the Hawaiian shores. Pretty good gig, was it not?
It was a great gig, and my first trip out of Houston in 16 months.
It was time. You escaped the heat.
Yeah. Sorta.
I heard she was in Cabo with Zeke.
Oh, no.
Trying to get intel on whether or not he'll sign a new deal.
Yeah, nope. I made a cameo back in Dallas and then quickly went right back to Cabo.
All I can tell you is that's the reason why Zeke would not sign. If he could just spend more time in Cabo with the Gloss, you know what he's going to do.
Wow, we're going to have you unpack that one later.
I think we just might.
And I'm not going to be involved in that.
Well, I've been wanting to ask you. We know that your normal routine is hip-hop dancing. That's what you do for workouts every Saturday morning, whether you need to or not. You're
That's
out
right.
there hip-hop.
That's right.
In Hawaii, was there any hula dancing? True confessions. Come on.
What happened in Maui stays in Maui.
Really? Oh, come on.
That's what we're going to do.
Inquiring minds.
Of course you have to. When in Rome, got to do.
You did it.
Got to do.
Fantastic. Well, a lot happened while you were gone. Andrew Luck retired. The Texans lost. They're starting running back Lamar Miller. Rory won a tournament. The Astros are dominating. College football started. A lot is going on.
I know. I can't
Welcome
leave
back.
Anymore. Welcome back. It feels good to be back.
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk to Ken Dilger, a former NFL tight end, later in the show. And we're also going to talk to Jerry Palm. He's the CBS sports writer, and talk to him about college football. We've got a great show coming up. It's great to be back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Prepare for road trips. Before your travels, begin and visit with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, so there's that old expression, where were you when you heard the news? And people say it about when JFK got shot. From the sports world, to me, it was always, where was I when I first heard that Magic Johnson was HIV positive?
Right.
That was
gosh.
A big piece of news. It was a stunning piece of news. And obviously, this doesn't have that kind of magnitude. But when Andrew...
You are giving away your age, but I'm just going to let it go.
That's right.
Let's not
but when,
that.
When Andrew Luck... announced his retirement, the common question today is, where were you when you heard the news? Mm-hmm. And how stunning was it?
It was absolutely beyond stunning. I was at a dinner party, and my watch vibrated, you know, the Apple Watch. I looked down, and of course, there was some sort of intellectual conversation going
right.
on. I said, hang on, everyone. So I broke the news to the dinner party, and people were not, they're like, are you sure this isn't a joke?
Right. I was out drinking margaritas, and I thought maybe I'd had a margarita too many when this guy across the table said, "You will not believe what I just got." Couldn't believe it.
It was like, I remember where I was when Deshaun Watson got drafted by the Texans when they traded up. I was in a bar in Palo Alto. So, yeah.
I remember hearing your howls of delight all the way down here in Houston. It was a big dramatic moment.
Not a lie. It was a big dramatic moment. How are you feeling about Andrew Luck? What do you think about this decision?
Well, I actually am filled with a great deal of regret. When I look at Andrew Luck, if you were to say, I want to go and create the perfect quarterback, the perfect pieces of a quarterback, you'd want a great brain. You'd want a really smart guy to process things well. You'd want a big frame. Mm-hmm. You want a strong arm. And you want him to be mobile. This guy was the prototype quarterback. And when he came out of college, out of Stanford, no less, having played at a very high level in a pro-style offense, he was, well, he rated as one of the perhaps best quarterbacks ever coming into the draft.
Should have been the Heisman Trophy winner.
Up there with a Troy Aikman and a John Elway, you had Andrew Luck. And my regret is that this once-in-a-generation type talent has come out. He played in the NFL, and he never had the pieces around him where he was at least even protected. I mean, he was beat up these years, and that's what's led to this retirement. I mean, the real regret now, when you look back on it, the current offensive line of the Colts is actually quite good. If 4 years ago they'd had that line, Andrew Luck would probably still be playing in the NFL. But he was just beat up in a different way. It's not the same context. He almost got what I call David Carr'd. I mean, remember David Carr on the Texans, first-round pick, he just got beat up and obviously out of the league. The difference, of course, is Luck went on to play very, very well at the highest level, one of the best quarterbacks in the league when healthy. David Carr never, of course, achieved that. But the outcome of getting beat up and being physically brutalized by lack of line play has led him to leave the league.
No, it's so true. And you look at what happened at Luck. From he came into the league as the number one draft pick in 2012.
Yep.
And from 2012 through 2016, he averaged 6.71 hits per game and 156 sacks. And that's under GM Ryan Grigsby era, which really, it's just inexcusable. And Chris Ballard took over the GM spot in Indy 3 years ago and started building up that line and adding the pieces on defense and bringing in a running back and receivers. And, you know, I really credit him to giving Andrew Luck what was looking to be, honestly, a Super Bowl reality for the Colts fans this year. And I think that's what's so hard about it. But you look at Andrew Luck, and I think what you said about him having all the perfect qualities, if you could construct a quarterback, is so perfect. I think this is such a one-off to see someone at 29 years old coming off the comeback player of the year last year, retiring. But what nobody has talked about, he's always done things a bit differently. He's thought differently than a lot of quarterbacks, meaning when he was drafted number one in 2012, he's supposed to go to rookie camp. You know, after that, he didn't go because Stanford finishes in mid-June. And he said, I got to go back and finish my degree, which is a complicated degree, some sort of architectural degree.
Right.
And so the Colts were okay with that. And it's not like he was coming in from a disastrous franchise. He was replacing Peyton Manning. And so, you know, he knew, though, he could handle this and he's disciplined enough. So he didn't show up until, you know, mid to late June to the Colts. So really right there from the start, I remember thinking, wow, nobody does that. And how cool that he wants that education now. And who would have seen that at 29 years old, his football career would be ending. And this is a football junkie. I mean, this is an excruciating decision for someone like him to make.
Well, and you can go back over the careers of great players who retired early, from Jim Brown to Barry Sanders to Calvin Johnson, and frankly to Rob Gronkowski last year, who's only 29. But none of those guys left as much money or as many years on the table. Because if Luck could be healthy, he had another 8 to 9, 10 years he could play. I mean, the guy's 29. Quarterbacks can play well into their 30s.
Sure.
He had a lot of years and a lot of money that he walked away from.
Which really should really speak to the Indy fans that, you know, I want to smack them upside the head about right now after that reaction on Saturday night when the news broke in the middle of the Bears-Colts scrimmage. And preseason game, and he had to be escorted off by security guards to booze coming out of Indianapolis Stadium.
Well, I'm going to attribute that to the...
Oh, that's rough.
Well, those are the late in the game, preseason, had too much to drink crazies who are still there. I'm going to hope that's the minute minority of the entire Colt fan base.
Well, I hope so. But, you know, you're mentioned, you bring up good points with Sanders, Calvin Johnson, Rob Gronkowski. You know, they all announced their retirement soon after the Super Bowl, you know, kind of in the spring before the, you know, in the off season. And I think a lot of people are saying, look at the timing of this. This is horrible. Like a week and a half to go until the regular season. But you know what? Fans and, you know, media, us included, we only know Andrew Luck on Sundays. We don't know what Andrew Luck goes through Monday through Saturday with, and he's, you know, two shoulder surgeries, ankle issues. Let's not forget a lacerated kidney. This isn't like, oh, a kidney stone. A lacerated kidney that this guy played through and did as much as he could. And I think, to me, I look at the timing and think, you know what I think happened? No one really knows what this lower leg, ankle injury, calf injury, whatever this is, how extensive it is. And I think he's practiced three times since April. He probably said at this point, I'm going to miss half the season. I cannot do this to my teammates again. And I can't mentally do this to myself and feel good about it. So, you know, I would say to the fans, you know, those boos were regrettable, but take a look at the bigger picture.
Well, the Jacoby Brissett era begins in Indy a little sooner than everyone had hoped or planned. Big, big sea change in Indy. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Jerry Palm. He is with CBS Sports. He's their senior writer. We'll ask him about all things college football. And we'll ask him, is Trevor Lawrence the next great quarterback to be coming out of the cave with the perfect prototype body and brain? Could he
and
be the
hair.
Next? And hair. Okay, fair enough. Trevor's got the hair. It'll be Jerry Palm when we return. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, Progressive makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And on our guest line is Jerry Palm, CBS Sports senior writer. Jerry, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
How's it going?
Well, we're doing great, and we're excited the college football season has started, although that Miami-Florida game was a bit sloppy. What do you take out of that week one matchup?
Yeah, well, that's the first game for you. You know, as you see a lot of stupid penalties, there's a lot of self-inflicted wounds, you know, errors, penalties, just really turnovers. I mean, Miami had a ton of turnovers and yet couldn't overcome couldn't win the game with all those turnovers. It was sloppy. Both those teams will get better as the season goes on, but Florida found a way to win, and that's what really matters.
So do you take away from that, Jerry, do you think that Miami at this point is underrated, or is Florida overrated at number eight? Or too early to tell?
I don't think you can judge that on one game, especially a first game. I think we need to get a little deeper into the season and see how these teams do before we really know that for sure. They could both be overrated. Or both be underrated.
And looking ahead already, you know, of course, we have to ask about the national championship game, which will be in January.
Already?
And we're in August.
On, it's like 4 months.
Yeah. Jerry, I'm really going to make you make a very bold prediction. But is Alabama-Clemson, is this a foregone conclusion? Or can somebody else get in the mix of the national championship picture this year?
Well, I mean, if you follow sports at all, any sport whatsoever, foregone conclusion is not really something you talk about.
Right.
Alabama, Clemson, heavy favorites, and they should be. But, you know, Oklahoma's good, Ohio State is good, Georgia's good. Who knows, Alabama might not even win the SEC. Of course, Alabama's national championships, the last, four of them, I think, have come with a loss in the regular season. So, you know, it's not, even if Alabama or Georgia were to lose, it's not a foregone conclusion that they might not still win a national championship. I would be shocked if Clemson lost in the regular season, though. Their schedule just isn't nearly up to snuff because the league is not as good. Texas A&M might be the best team they play, and that's a pretty good team, but they get them at home.
We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. Okay, you mentioned Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley gets another transfer quarterback in Jalen Hurts. How much will he adjust his offense for Hurts' skills?
Well, that's what good coaches do, though, right? I mean, you've got a guy with a certain skill set, and you put him in the best possible position to succeed, and that means taking full advantage of their skill set. So I expect that he will do whatever it takes to give Jalen Hurts an opportunity to have a big year, not just for himself, but for Oklahoma. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hurts had a Heisman Trophy caliber kind of season. It'll be difficult for him to knock out, say, Trevor Lawrence to win that award this year if he has the kind of year we all expect. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Jalen Hurts in New York.
So in the Big 12, Longhorns making some noise. Sam Ellinger poised to have another good season. Who do you see finishing at the top of the Big 12? The Sooners, the Longhorns, or anybody else?
No, I think it's Sooners or Longhorns, right? And I like Oklahoma because I don't think Texas can beat Oklahoma twice. They might be able to beat them once, but I don't think they can beat them twice. So I like Oklahoma in that league. But Texas is definitely getting to the point where they're pushing to possibly win it. And I don't think it'll be long, if not this year, you know, pretty soon, that Texas and Oklahoma are really battling in the top of that league every year. And then we'll see if anybody else can join that party. But this year, I think there's a reasonably sizable gap between those two and the rest of the league.
So, Jerry, Ohio State's coming in the top five yet again. A lot of changes right at Ohio State. Brand new coach in Ryan Day. Brand new quarterback in former Georgia Justin Fields. Recruiting violations being looking at. So what do you think about Ohio State? How are they going to look this year, and how are they going to look in the Big Ten?
I picked them to win the Big Ten. Still fall short of the playoff, but I picked them to win the Big Ten. And, you know, everybody seems to be on the Michigan bandwagon. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know about everybody because Ohio State's rated ahead of them in the polls, so clearly not everybody. But, you know, think that this is finally the year that Harbaugh is able to get that monkey off his back because Urban Meyer is gone. But Ohio State's still the most talented team in the league. And Michigan is right there with them. And they've got to play the game in Michigan this year. But until Michigan actually wins that game, and it's something like, I think it's something like 15 out of 17 wins for Ohio State. I mean, it's a long mm-hmm. streak of dominance for Ohio State in this rivalry right now. So until Michigan's actually able to do it, I'm not buying it.
I know the entire Harbaugh era has been losses to Ohio State. Do you think this year, if he still can't pull it off, does he keep his job at Michigan? Do they like him that much?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Look, if you're 10-2 every year and the losses are mm-hmm. Ohio State and Notre Dame or Ohio State and Michigan State, your fans are going to be upset, but 10-2 isn't going to get you fired even at Michigan. So I'd be surprised if he gets on the hot seat if he's 10-2 again this year.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, senior sports writer for CBS. Let's talk Nebraska. A lot of people, well, they think Nebraska's going to sneak up on people. They got Scott Frost in his year two. How good can they be?
Well, maybe good enough to win the division in the Big Ten West, which I think is going to be the most competitive division in college football this year. That division has got six teams that could all legitimately win it. Scott Frost, you know, he had a two-year sort of miracle turnaround at UCF. And so a lot of people are thinking, well, it's year two. They're just going to be infinitely better because it's Scott Frost. But the competition level is different. I mean, you've got Northwestern with a five-star quarterback and an All-American linebacker. You've got Iowa, who's got arguably the best quarterback in the division. You've got Wisconsin with Jonathan Taylor, a Heisman Trophy candidate and running back. You've got Purdue with Rondale Moore, who was the first Big Ten true freshman consensus All-American in the history of the league. So there's talent in that entire division. And it's not going to be easy for Nebraska to win it.
You mentioned earlier, Jerry, about some coaches that you mentioned a hot seat when we were talking about Harbaugh. Which coach has a hotter seat coming into this season between Gus Malzahn of Auburn and Clay Helton of USC?
Ooh, gosh.
And now let me give you Jerry, little comment, Jerry. You're talking to a Trojan here. Carla's a little anxious about this question.
I'm anxious, but I'm a realist.
And she's upset they're not even ranked in the top 25. The Trojans.
First time since 2001 they're missing the top 25.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
And that was Pete Carroll's first year.
They have some mediocre years in there. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, I mean, Clay Helton's seat is pretty hot. Gus Malzahn's seat is pretty hot. But here's the thing about Gus Malzahn. They could be a top 15 team and lose five games. Because look at Auburn's schedule.
Yeah, right.
It's brutal.
Oregon this week. That Oregon game is the sixth toughest game on their schedule. And Oregon's what? Top 15, right? So they've got to go to A&M. They got to go to LSU. They got to go to Florida. They get Alabama and Georgia at home. Good with that. You know, if Gus Malzahn loses those five games and gets fired, what are you going to do? You know, those are five really tough games. And on Auburn, like I said, they could be a top 15 team game, a top 15 team, and lose all five of those games. If they lose to Oregon, you got to wonder if they're even going to make a bowl.
Yeah, because last year, you're right, exactly what you're saying. Their conference record was 3-5, and overall 8-5, which is respectable. But in conference, there are those five losses you were talking about. And you look at USC, they've got the third toughest out-of-conference schedule. They see Fresno State, then they have to go to Notre Dame, go to BYU. I'm not feeling good for Clay Helton. It's making me nervous.
Yeah, you should be.
Jerry, you're not making me feel better here.
Sorry, I didn't realize that was in the contract to make you feel better.
No, that's okay. I can take it.
It's a tough non-conference schedule. They're not in a position really where they're, you know, they might win the division. They could maybe do that, but it's a pretty competitive division, I think. And it's funny though. You talk about their tough non-conference schedule. The toughest one is Stanford.
I know, that's crazy.
They've got Northwestern and Notre Dame. And, gosh, I forget the third one now. Oh, they're at UCF.
At UCF, exactly. It's brutal.
So
what are they doing?
Schedules like that.
I know.
Yeah, so USC can't even claim best schedule, non-conference schedule in their own conference. But you're right. I mean, it's a very difficult schedule, which I give them credit for because they do that every year. You know, USC is not afraid to play people. It's part of their tradition, and I appreciate that. But if they don't find a way to win about 8 or 9 games this year, you may not see any more Clay Helton on the sidelines. And then the question is begged, will Lid Swan be the one who hires a replacement?
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
I hadn't thought
right.
about that. Exactly.
We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. So there are a lot of hyped up quarterbacks, Herbert, Fromm, Tua, Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. Who do you think's overhyped?
Trevor Lawrence,
yes. So is there anyone you think is overhyped at this spot?
No. I mean, I haven't got anybody that jumps to mind as like I'm just not feeling somebody who's really probably good. A lot of those guys you mentioned are all really good quarterbacks. Who knows? Maybe one of them will have a disappointing season. But I think that all of those are really good quarterbacks, and I haven't got anybody off the top of my head that I think, yeah, that guy is definitely overrated. That you know everybody's talking about.
So, Jerry, I'm going to give you two teams here that hopefully are going to make a big impact this year. Which one do you see making a bigger impact out of Utah, out of the Pac-12, which has one of the easiest out-of-conference schedules, or Tennessee in the SEC?
Utah. Utah's got a chance to win their division and win the league. They've got to go to Washington, though. I mean, I picked Washington to win that division because they get Oregon, Utah, Washington State at home. So they've got the schedule advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But Utah's good enough to win that division and win the league. Tennessee will be fortunate to make a bowl.
Wow.
Okay, next question. We got to ask you about the most underrated team. You look at the rankings right now, it's a lot of the blue bloods. Who do you think should be given a little more recognition?
That's an excellent question. I'm going to go with Iowa. Nate Stanley back at quarterback for them this year is a guy that the NFL guys really like. They've always got great offensive line, great tight ends. They can run the ball. Now they've got a quarterback with a weapon. I think Iowa could be pretty dangerous this year. I don't know about win the Big Ten dangerous because that's really still Ohio State or Michigan. But I could see Iowa having a bigger year than people think.
One last question. We're up against the clock. But the Alabama receiving core has to be one of the best overall position groups in all of college football. And you put them with Tua. Is that offense going to be pretty explosive?
They should be, right? And they usually are. I mean, their offense is usually pretty good because what do they do poorly? They run the ball. They can throw the ball. They've got great receivers. They've got a pretty good quarterback to distribute the ball to them. And, Alabama's offense should be really explosive this year. And that's no small part of the reason why.
And as long as Tua stays healthy, because clearly at the end of last season he was not.
No, he was definitely banged up at the end of the year.
That's Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. Jerry, thanks so much for joining the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Jose, playing a little bit of different music, got you moving in the studio here, Carla.
I know, I'm loving this. Welcome to the house.
Welcome to the house. Welcome back, because she was on that beach doing the hula dance in Hawaii. And it was pretty, well, I know you. When you hula, you really hula.
I'm all in.
I noticed you came back a little bit sore, and I've got a solution for you.
Okay, tell me.
You've got sore
it.
Muscles, too aggressive dancing, right? I know one thing that will solve all your woes. It's called blue.
Start with the blue, end with an emu?
Yes, it's blue emu.
I need it.
Just rub it all over your wounds. It's a deep, penetrating cream.
And you can't smell me coming.
That's no, the because part. There's no stink. It's made in America. And when you put it on, it soothes your muscles, and there's no smell. So you will be just fine in the studio. You'll be fine everywhere you go. You can return to dancing right away.
Okay,
Blue
I
Emu.
Did do a little flame throwing with the hula, so it's not going to catch on fire, right?
No.
Retardant, you know what I'm saying?
Turn it loose.
Okay, there we go.
We're sending Carla back to the dance floor.
Thank you,
thanks
Blue
to
Emu.
Blue Emu.
You're going to get me moving again.
All right. It's hard to make too much of preseason, but that Texans-Cowboys game
we have to talk about that.
Was unbelievably one-sided. And, of course, the Texans lost their starting running back in Lamar Miller. After that game, all kinds of questions on the table. Let's begin with, what are the options for the Texans now to replace Lamar Miller? They were looking for him to be the number one back.
Well, he has been their number one for the past three seasons.
They did trade for Duke Johnson, and there was a thought that he would be the complement to Lamar
Correct.
Miller. But now, Duke Johnson thrust into a bigger role. They're going to need to pick up somebody else.
Yeah, I liked Jay Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi. I love
He's
that
coming
pick.
Off injury, yeah. I know.
Well, he tore his ACL in October. He's been cleared for about a month now. And we've seen people come back from ACL tears and do very well. He's only 26 years old. He seems like a great
right.
workhorse back to put in there and split the time with Duke Johnson.
I mean, if we could get him back in his Miami form, ooh, we'd be sitting pretty.
Yep.
That's a nice one.
And he had some good runs in play for the Eagles
yes,
when
he
was
did.
Traded there. He's a guy who I think they could slide in pretty well. I mean, there are other names out there, but I don't think any nearly as compelling. I mean, you can people throw out Carlos Hyde
right.
or, I mean, there were whispers of a trade for Melvin Gordon. But if the Texans are going to make a trade, I think they've got to go pick up an offensive tackle.
You think?
Yeah.
I would say maybe the left side too, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Jeez, that was a certified disaster on Saturday night.
Well, so you can't make too much out of preseason.
Right, I know.
But what you can do is look at that and say the Cowboys completely dominated the line of scrimmage. The defensive
blocks,
front of the Cowboys, Malik Collins, Hyder was in the backfield. Taco Charlton, of all guys,
oh my goodness,
was in
I know.
Deshaun's face. I mean, the offensive line for the Texans looked like it's a real crisis yet again.
What I really hope is happening on Kirby Drive, Andrew Luck's retirement announcement should be shaking the walls at NRG Stadium, that you cannot do this to your franchise. And
yep.
our franchise is Deshaun Watson,
yep.
and he needs to be protected. He led the league in sacks last year with, what was it, 64, 68, some crazy number that I don't even want to think about ever again. Get someone now. That was your billboard, your flashing light, that this is not something to mess around with and piecemeal together. Putting up a goose egg against Dallas was ugly. Yes, it was preseason, but what's uglier is that we lost Lamar Miller immediately, and they took Deshaun out, which was great to their credit. Got to get protection for him now. Yesterday, months ago. Stop messing around with this.
Yeah, well, they started Julian Davenport left tackle, and that did not go well. He was not a performer for them last year.
No, he was not. And Matt Khalil, we haven't really seen him. He was brought in the offseason. He's coming back from injury. They're saying he's the starting left tackle. Yeah, I think he was back at practice today, but we haven't seen him yet. So, and Roderick Johnson has been a nice surprise at the left tackle spot too. But this is not a piecemeal position. It needs to be first and foremost.
Okay, whispers in the air that the Texans will sign and then trade Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they would trade him for a left tackle. There
and
were whispers.
Who would you get?
Well, Trent Williams is a name who may be available. Redskins are not suggesting they're going to trade him.
No, Jay Gruden said today, it doesn't look like I will trade him.
And it's not like there are franchise left tackles just hanging on the tree to go out and buy, right? There were whispers of Laremy Tunsil of the Dolphins maybe being available.
That
would be an interesting pick. He's just finished his third year. But no, I don't think the Dolphins are going to give him up. And Brian Flores, while he might love Clowney as a talent, I just don't see them trading Tunsil at this moment.
I would be thrilled with that because you look at what he has done, what Tunsil has done since the draft day surprise photo of, you know, the bong hole situation. You've not heard a word about any off-field anything with Laremy Tunsil.
No, and he's played very well.
He has played fantastic. That would be an incredible pickup. Don't know the Miami. I agree with you. Would want to give that up.
Well, all that looms soon because, well, the Texans are waiting for Clowney to sign his tender. And then the minute he signs, Texans can bring him back into the fold or trade him. And really, at this moment, if I were to put it this way to you, would you rather see the Texans upgrade at running back or at offensive tackle? Or which is the biggest need at this point?
Left tackle, period.
Yeah.
Because that changes everything.
Don't want to see Deshaun Watson at 29 retiring because he's been beat up for five or six seasons.
No, you can't go out and get another Deshaun Watson. There's not a lot of those that exist. What I do find is fascinating is you think about within an hour on Saturday night, what was probably the toughest division in the NFL coming into the season, the AFC South, has now become anybody's guess with the retirement of Andrew Luck and the ACL tear of Lamar Miller. Two big, big factors now that are changing the makeup of the AFC South.
Well, your point, I mean, AFC South now looks like one of the weakest divisions in the NFL.
Well, no, don't go that far.
Well, I'm going to go that far. I will say this, though, from the Texans' perspective, they now have the best quarterback in the AFC South. I mean, Deshaun Watson is certainly better than any of those, Mariota and Nick Foles and Jacoby Brissett. Deshaun Watson stands as the top quarterback in the division.
Well, you know, here's the good news for the Titans with Mariota, who is very injury prone. If he goes down, they have brought in a backup, Ryan Tannehill. Oh, yeah, he goes down too. Oh, well, guess that wasn't such a great idea. Anyway.
Now, it's interesting. I just saw a recent top 100 players in the NFL list that was published. And amazingly, there were two teams who had no players in the top 100. And those two teams were the Titans and the Redskins. And it's hard to find much talent on those two teams, to find a name that good. And the Redskins, boy, Jordan Reed, who has been a good tight end for them,
poor Jordan Reed.
Suffered a concussion. You talk about injuries.
It's like concussion number six or something.
It'll be his sixth concussion, and he's got to look in the mirror and wonder if he's sustaining injuries that will be life-threatening or undermine his quality of life later. So Jordan Reed of the Redskins, we certainly wish him well. Another victim of a preseason injury. The other big loss was the Chargers losing their second-year safety, the standout, Derwin James. And he's going to be out for about 3 months. He suffered a stress fracture in his foot. Cam Newton sprained his ankle. He anticipates being back by week one. Panthers dodged a bullet there, I think.
I think so too.
It's hard to know how much to play these guys. I mean, as Bill Belichick said, if you want to get a team ready to play football, they have to play some football. But on the other hand, if they get injured, obviously they can do nothing for the team. And those are big setbacks. Derwin James is a big loss for the Chargers.
Yeah, it is a big loss. And without Melvin Gordon, they've got a lot of work to make up for.
I will say, on the other side of the ball in that preseason game between the Cowboys and the Texans, Cowboys looked very impressive.
Yes, they did.
The thing that stands out to me about the Cowboys right now is the depth and, frankly, the overall quality of their defense. Now, they've not really been known as a great defensive team. They had all that draft capital invested in the offensive line and some of the skill positions. But that defensive front, the front seven, is very, very impressive. And the defensive backfield looked very good. The front seven, I mean, it looks like DeMarcus Lawrence is back and ready to play. He had not been playing. He was healing after surgery. Robert Quinn suspended for a couple games, but they've got Tyrone Crawford over there. Taco Charlton has played. They've got some depth there. The defensive tackles are good. I just think Collins is going to step up. I think Tristan Hill will be a contributor. Kerry Hyder looks strong for them. And, of course, the linebackers are outstanding with Vander Etch and Jalen Smith. Cowboys defensive front seven, maybe that whole defense, I think is going
to
be a top five. It's a top five defense this year.
And I feel like they've quietly put that together without a lot of talk. Like, people haven't necessarily noticed. But it was impressive. They look great.
Now, one guy who was missing.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear what you
think
about
Zeke Elliott.
This.
Not Zeke who.
Right.
Zeke Elliott. Right. Not there.
Okay, how do you feel? Is he looking foolish to you, Mr. Cowboy fan, for declining this offer that was just made to him that would make him the second highest running back in the league behind Todd Gurley?
Goodness, given his history, given the fact that he's under contract, Cowboys control his fate for another 2 years. Given his history off the field, given that he can take a lot of guaranteed money with that deal, I think he ought to grab that deal right now. To be the second highest paid running back in the league, I think is consistent sort of where his talent level is. I think he's in the top three or four, depending on the week and the productivity. And to take the number two contract
and
right
now. Availability.
Well, and then
suspensions
to take
loom
it, look,
for that boy.
This is where you get back to, he's not been
available.
Consistently reliable for the Cowboys. I mean, and so at some point that does come into play. I mean, the Cowboys had one bad season where with Dak Prescott's second year, where Elliott was on and off and suspended and not suspended, and it was such a distraction, it really unraveled that whole year. Well, who's to say? I mean, Elliott is one sort of odd incident away from another suspension. I mean, that whole incident he had up in Vegas, he sort of dodged a bullet. He went to see the commissioner. He didn't get a suspension. But this is a lot of guaranteed money for a running back. It's what he wanted. He wanted a new contract. It's a big-time contract. He needs to take it.
And the Cowboys didn't have to give him anything, honestly, because like you said, he's under control for 2 years. I just think that Zeke is acting to me, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, as if he holds the leverage with his production, which his production is outstanding. But the Cowboys hold the leverage with his character and with their ability to trust and count on him for his availability. Who wins out in the end?
Well, it is a poker game right now. It's sort of funny to listen to all the talking heads about this because a lot of people say, well, Jerry's going to cave in. Jerry always gives in. Jerry, this and that. And he hasn't yet. I mean, giving Elliott the second highest paid contract for a running back is a pretty fair landing spot, I think. I think that, I mean, you can go all the way back. It's sort of interesting to think about when Emmitt Smith held out under Jimmy Johnson and one of those Cowboys teams years ago.
Ended in a Super Bowl victory.
You did, but Cowboys started off 0-2, and that changed the dynamic. All the leverage went to Emmitt. In this case, I think two things are going to happen. One, the defense is so good, I think that the Cowboys are going to get off to a good start because also the schedule is soft. Cowboys start out with the Giants at home, and it's not clear who the Giants will start at quarterback. The Redskins on the road, and Redskins are going to be starting Case Keenum. And then the Dolphins at home. So if the Dolphins take care of business, they should be 3-0. And every win by the Cowboys, if there's a 100-yard game by a Tony Pollard, it changes the dynamic.
Alfred Morris,
it just changed the dynamic. Yeah, and Alfred Morris is going to be able to contribute, particularly behind that offensive line. The offensive line is 100% healthy now. They've got their center back. They're really poised. Things get tough for the Cowboys schedule week 4 and 5. They have to play the Saints and the Packers. And, yeah, those are tough matchups for anybody. But I think Elliott ought to take the deal on the table, come to camp, get himself in shape, play, and start and have a great season. And I think the clock is ticking. I think it needs to happen now.
I think what Elliott is doing is this is a devalued position in the NFL, and he's trying to make it valuable, more valuable than it currently has been. So we'll see who wins on that one.
When we come back, well, we'll look at whether the signing of Jalen Smith by the Cowboys was a signal to Ezekiel Elliott when we return on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, it is an amazing window for the Cowboys that we talk about. They're trying to get Elliott into camp because they do have so much young talent. And in the same draft with Elliott, you have, well, both Jalen Smith and Dak Prescott. So they're all in the same cycle. Jalen Smith did sign with the Cowboys. And the language around that, Jerry Jones's comments about bringing Jalen Smith in and giving him a contract ahead, I think really did send a message to Ezekiel Elliott. Smith has signed a team-friendly deal. He sees the bigger picture. And Jerry Jones also, I think, wanted to make it clear that there's value to being a member of the Dallas Cowboys, that being associated with America's team builds your own personal brand, and there's all kinds of off-the-field opportunities and branding opportunities for being a member of the Cowboys.
Sure, he sent a message. I mean, I love Jones's comments after Smith signed his extension, which is, you wanted a contract story? This is a contract story. Has it all. Overcoming adversity, talent, rewarding of ambition, and beginning of what ambition will get you in the future. He is talking directly to our Cabo training running back, Zeke Elliott. And you've got to also see that Amari Cooper hasn't been paid yet.
Right.
Dak Prescott hasn't been paid yet. But they're both in camp. And they're both doing what they need to be doing. So,
if there were no salary cap, I could see Jerry Jones being like a George Steinbrenner of the Yankees way back in the 70s. He would spend the money to win because he has the money and winning is most important. There's an ego element to it. But he didn't have that right or opportunity here. He does. It is a zero-sum game. Whatever money goes into this one pocket is at risk of not being available for somebody else's pocket. And there's no glory in having a part of a team. You have to have the whole of the team. And so he's trying to figure out the best way to allocate a limited amount of resources.
And you know what's so crazy? Jalen Smith, he had that ACL injury with the peroneal nerve damage in the Fiesta Bowl in 2016 against Ohio State and Ezekiel Elliott. Kind of funny.
Small world it is.
Small world, getting smaller.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.